planning layoffs and a so-called hiring freeze. We'll talk about that. We also have increased discounting in the United States. It looks like Tesla has bumped that credit up or that discount up ahead of quarter end. We've also got an updated note from Morgan Stanley on Tesla and a few other items as well. All right, looking at the stock, Tesla down about 0.2% today, closing at $137.57. Significant underperformance to the NASDAQ, up about 1.5%. Another high volume day for Tesla today too, 144 million shares traded. So you can see it's probably the top five volume day as we have continued to have those high volume days for the last week and a half or so. As we sit here, we should be getting to the end of the period of time where Form 4s could be filed, so we'll refresh here and see if we've got anything yet, but looks like nothing yet. So that would cover us through last Friday, meaning presumably no selling unless there's something that changes later on tonight, or if a form was delayed, no selling on Thursday or Friday from any Tesla insiders. So of course, the big question mark is going to be Tuesday, so we'll still have to wait. Or sorry, we should be through Monday then now. The big question will be Tuesday, and if we see a Form 4 for Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday tomorrow evening. But Tuesday was the big underperformance, so tomorrow will be the big one to watch to see if that was related to Elon or if we were down 8% when the market was flat for some other reason that day. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. We do have a couple of comments from Elon regarding the Twitter CEO position. Of course, he had the poll, and then yesterday we had some of the questions of whether bots are influencing the poll and things like that. Elon today, or I guess late last night, saying, "I will resign as CEO as soon as I find someone foolish enough to take the job. After that, I will just run the software and servers team." So I guess it's a follow through to an extent, but as we had talked about, this has kind of been the plan for a while. So like we had talked about when this poll first came out, there were valid responses such as this to sort of either result. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing here. So probably no major surprise on that front. He did also reply to Earl here on Twitter saying, what's comforting is that Elon won't even entertain the idea that his behavior impacts the stock price. Elon replying to that and saying, maybe so, in which case, ... buying opportunity. And then he talks about some of the stuff that he has talked about with the Fed. He said he's talked to a smart investor today who said he's shorting the S&P. So just wanted to point out, Elon's comments on that. I know everyone has their own strong opinions on that either way, but just kind of passing that along. And then also on Twitter yesterday, George Hotz did resign from Twitter, his short-lived Twitter internship. Unfortunately, it looks like that didn't end up working out, but he did host a Twitter space last night, which was pretty interesting. Elon popped in there for about an hour, maybe a couple of hours, and had some interesting comments just on where Twitter is at, kind of the challenges that they're going through right now, trying to overcome the decisions that need to be made, whether continuing to sort of progress and build features on their current software stack or kind of do a major rewrite, and the pros and cons of some of those decisions. But in terms of the business, I think the most relevant point that Elon made to Tesla was that he said, quote, "I now think that Twitter will in fact be okay next year, roughly cash flow break even. That's what I expect," end quote. He did say that, of course, that will be difficult, a lot of challenges, but he mentioned that a lot of the cost cutting that they have had to do over the last 5 weeks, a lot of that has now, the hard parts of some of those things have been done, and now it sounds like it's focused on moving forward and getting things to where Elon eventually hopes Twitter will be. Obviously, that's going to be a long process, but he seems to be feeling pretty good about that, and hopefully, we'll see if there's selling happening this week, but hopefully that helps ease some concerns about how persistent that may be from Elon in regards to Twitter. So wanted to pass that along. Moving into the report from Electrek, probably the other item that got the most attention today. So Electrek, before market open today, noting that Tesla is planning to implement a quote-unquote hiring freeze, to use Electrek's word there, and a new round of layoffs. So as we've talked about, we heard this from Tesla in June. Of course, there was a ton of reporting that Tesla was laying off 10% of staff, ended up being 10% of salaried employees, so more like 3% of staff. In this case, we don't have a number from Electrek. They just say that they have learned that Tesla is implementing a hiring freeze and plans further layoffs, according to a reliable source familiar with the matter. They have communicated to some employees that they're stopping hiring for now. On top of the hiring freeze, Tesla also said that teams will be expected to make layoffs during the first quarter of 2023. So on this report, I think that it's based in fact. I think it's probably reported in an unfortunate way that I don't really think is accurate. as they continue on here to say that it's not clear how extensive the hiring freeze will be as Tesla is planning to expand in some manufacturing locations. So to me, that's not a hiring freeze. That's adjusting a normal process where, okay, slowing down hiring in one area, continuing hiring in another area. To me, definitely not a hiring freeze. Hiring freeze to me is stopping all hiring, and Electrek in this report acknowledging that that is not the plan. I also had to kind of chuckle because 12 hours earlier, Electrek had posted this report about Tesla expanding into Turkey, which is cool, and that they are starting hiring in Turkey. So 12 hours later, they're now in a hiring freeze, I guess, obviously for the future, but I did just kind of have to laugh at that irony a little bit. But point being here, I do expect that there would be some degree of layoffs. How extensive those would be, again, no percentage or anything given in this report, but we know Elon's been pretty clear about where he sees the economy going. And especially if the Fed continues to raise rates, I think Tesla will continue to make adjustments in that regard. It's obviously unfortunate for employees that are impacted, but at the same time, probably a decision that is best for the business at that point in time. So we'll see where that goes. But on the hiring freeze part, yeah, that to me is just kind of the normal course of business. I would not expect Tesla to stop all hiring, and I would expect them to, you know, maybe pull it back in some areas, certain teams, which obviously makes sense if you're doing layoffs in some areas as well. All right, moving on here, we've got an update on the discount that is happening in the United States. Of course, we've talked previously about that being $3,750, which is half of the full EV tax credit, which Tesla may be eligible for on January 1st. So there's still a lot of uncertainty on what exactly is happening there as we wait for those guidelines to be published. And earlier this week, we talked about how that was going to be delayed until March. So we're still waiting to kind of see what happens in that interim period. But on the heels of that, Tesla has now apparently updated this, sending out information to customers today, noting that if they take delivery of a Model Y or Model 3 before year end, they'll now receive $7,500, as well as the 10,000 free supercharging miles that were previously offered. Now, Tesla's website, at least as I was setting up here, was not updated for this. So it could be possible that this is just being offered in isolated cases. I would find that pretty surprising. That's generally not what Tesla tends to do. That's, you know, a little bit more of a dealership type of tactic if they're doing it on an individualized basis. So I do expect that this will be pretty shortly updated on the website as well. But just want to note that that has not happened as of yet. Anyway, $7,500, maybe that could be an indication that Tesla is expecting on January 1st people to be eligible for the full credit until those full battery minerals and components criteria and qualifications are published. It's possible that in the interim, pretty much all EVs are eligible for that full credit, obviously with the income tax or with the income caps, as well as the price caps for the vehicles, which for Tesla, $55,000 for a sedan would be in play, and then $80,000 for a Model Y. So kind of interesting on that point. If you are in the market for a performance Model 3, which unless Tesla adjusts prices, would not be eligible for the credit, and of course, if you're over those income caps, this would be a great time to take advantage of this because as the EV credit gets implemented, presumably this goes away. So it is, you know, interesting to see this. Obviously, this is going to hurt Tesla's margins a little bit in the Q4 here. If we assume, you know, just to make the numbers easy, 10,000 vehicles, and we assume the prior credit of $3,750 was already implemented, then of course that's going to be about $37 million for every 10,000 vehicles that Tesla sells here over the next couple of weeks in the United States. I would guess they're probably, you know, just off the top of my head, somewhere around 20,000 deliveries here, because they, even though Tesla is evening things out, we do still see some backloading. So roughly in that ballpark might be a $50 to $100 million hit from the already added discount that we had seen before. So it is decently significant, but at the same time, it's not something that's gonna, you know, destroy their quarter or anything like that, and very temporary. I don't read into it too much in terms of what it means for long-term demand, as you know, we talk about the concept of demand pockets and demand bubbles. We should be very much in a demand pocket right now here in Q4 as customers wait to be eligible for the credit. Tesla's just trying to say, hey, like, stop waiting, take delivery, and, you know, we'll make up that credit. So that should lift that demand pocket up a little bit, and then what would have been a bubble on the other side of January 1st should also smooth that out a little bit too. So I think it's difficult to make any conclusions on what this means for Tesla's demand in general, other than that there are just a lot of people that are probably waiting right now. I also think that Tesla's stock performance recently probably not helping with order conversion, especially when you have customers that, you know, maybe expect a delivery in March or something like that, that are then being pulled up into December, that are then having to take delivery kind of unexpectedly. So Tesla doing what they can to kind of smooth some of these things out, and I think that makes a lot of sense, but it will be a little bit of a hit to margin here in Q4. On the demand front, Elon did like this post today, so I just wanted to pass that along. It was a video of a lot of Tesla cars being, you know, transported here. You can see how many there are, but as seen today in Belgium, the Tesla demand in Europe is high and still rising. Many new owners will be happy end of 2022. So Elon liked this, maybe just liking that all these vehicles are being delivered, but it does talk about demand in Europe being high. So we'll see on that. Next here, we've got an update from, Jason Yang here, looking at Giga Shanghai. And there are some interesting vehicles here being, or some interesting coverings of vehicles here in the Shanghai delivery staging lot or shipping staging lot that we can see here. And as far as I know, that's not a normal practice for Tesla. I was trying to look, you know, and see if this is something that Tesla does frequently, but it doesn't appear to be the case. This video from Wuwa last year, or, you know, almost last year at this point, January from this year, but we can see here the exact same lot. You know, we're looking at, you can see this building here, the same as right here. So we're looking at the same lot here from January this year, and, you know, similar sort of like wintry conditions, and we're not seeing any cars here that are covered. So it's interesting. You know, I don't watch every single video to know if this has happened before, but it does sort of beg the question of why those cars would be covered, especially as we are, you know, waiting to see if there have been any production slowdowns or things like that. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. We have seen in the United States some manufacturer plate vehicles that have had, for the Model 3, the front and rear fenders covered. So, you know, maybe something going on. Hopefully we'll find out on that soon. The other sort of piece of interesting data is, of course, Tesla's extension request with the FCC on that presumably high-definition radar component that they said that they would start marketing in mid-January. So it's going to be interesting here, especially as we move into the new year. And, you know, if we go back here and look at the Model 3, obviously Tesla for quite some time now has removed the long-range version from the design studio, which came in slightly above that $55,000 cap. So we're just going to have to see. Couldn't pull it up there, but, you know, we're going to have to see what Tesla is doing here in the new year. It'll be interesting. All right, next up here, we've got an updated note from Morgan Stanley. Of course, we've heard from quite a few analysts this week that have lowered their Tesla price targets. Adam Jones coming through and still sticking with his $330 price target on Tesla, still maintaining his overweight rating. And the gist of the note here is basically just walking through how, as the capital markets shift, access to capital becomes more difficult. Tesla should be well positioned, especially with the advantage of the Inflation Reduction Act EV credits, which, as we know, with Tesla carrying about 70% market share in the United States, Tesla should be well positioned to take more advantage of that than anybody else. So basically just walking through a number of different points here on the ability for Tesla to continue to drive forward as fast as possible, while others might become a little bit more conservative and maybe lose some steam in EVs with markets contracting a little bit. And I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, as we talk about Tesla demand, you know, there's a lot of questions that have creeped in recently how that's going to look in 2023. If Tesla needs lower prices, which, you know, they have plenty of room to do with their margins, that'll impact the margins and profitability and earnings and things like that. But if Tesla starts doing that, that makes it harder for other companies to sell their cars, because Tesla's vehicles become more competitive relative to those vehicles. As those vehicles start to lose scale, their cost structure rises, margins compress even further. So, you know, there's a lot of attention on it for Tesla right now, and probably not nearly enough attention on how this shakes out for everybody else at the moment. So we're heading into an interesting period of time here for sure. One thing that may be giving us a little bit more insight here that Morgan Stanley points out is that Ford's Model E, which very confusing, but we had talked about this before, where Ford is kind of splitting up, segmenting their business a little bit differently. Apparently that's going to start in the first quarter of 2023. So with that, we should get a little bit more insight into the financials of Ford's EV business. I'm sure there are going to be things in there that obscure those results a little bit, so it's not just a clean picture of EV profitability for Ford. But hopefully when that does happen, we get a little bit more insight on that front, which Adam Jonas is pointing out here as well. All right. Next here, we've got an update from CNN Business. I just wanted to cover this quickly because pretty interesting headline. I think this headline also a little bit misleading, but they say Tesla full self-driving triggered an 8-car crash, a driver tells police. So they say that a driver told authorities that their Tesla's full self-driving software braked unexpectedly, triggered an 8-car pileup in the San Francisco Bay Area last month around Thanksgiving that led to 9 people being treated for minor injuries, 1 juvenile who was hospitalized. So obviously any accident is unfortunate. They do say that on December 7th police report that the police could not confirm if full self-driving was activated during the time of the crash. Obviously Tesla's logs would indicate whether that was the case or not. But probably the most interesting part of this is that they do say that the crash occurred about lunchtime on Thanksgiving on Interstate 80. And again, this is covered by the California Highway Patrol. So I don't know, but around me, usually when I'm on the interstate, it's autopilot, not full self-driving. So I would assume that this is just an autopilot accident. Seems like a case of maybe phantom braking. The car was traveling at 55 miles an hour, slowed to 20 miles per hour, and then collision from behind. So, you know, I think the headline may be accurate, I guess, if the driver told the police that, but it does seem to me like this would be a circumstance where autopilot would be engaged, not really an FSD beta related accident. So although the headline certainly bound to get a lot of attention, just wanted to make that clear. And last few things here, another update from Joe Tagmeier looking at Giga Texas. We continue to see more Idra, I guess, assembly happening. You can see the Idra crates here and some more of the parts. He's got a few photos of various different pieces here. So it looks like Tesla is, you know, continuing to set up hopefully that 9,000 ton press. So hopefully we'll see some more progress on that over the next couple of weeks. Again, that should take, according to Idra, about a month, but maybe the 9,000 ton could take a little bit longer. We'll have to see on that. Next here, this was just a quick update or a quick thing I wanted to add some clarity on. Yubasam on Twitter here, for some reason today, reporting that the Panasonic CEO said that Tesla said that they're going to start mass production of 4680 cells in May of 2023. Cites this report here, which, you know, I was a little bit skeptical of, and this is actually this same chunk of text from not a Tesla app from back in mid-November. So this is more than a month old. I'm not sure why this is, you know, on Twitter today, but it did get a decent amount of attention. So I just wanted to clarify that this is an old report, first of all. And then second of all, I think there's a little bit being lost in translation here, or telephone, or whatever you want to call it, because I think people consistently get confused on Panasonic's fiscal years, which aren't January to December. So I think they had said that the sort of pilot production line would start mass producing on the pilot line within the fiscal year that basically begins, April 1st, 2023. So, starting mass production in May 2023 sounds a lot better than I think what the actual situation is. It's been a little bit of time since we've heard Panasonic update us on that. But if anyone did come across that on Twitter, just wanted to make that clear for today. And then lastly, an update on the Chevy Bolt. They have issued a recall for more than 100,000 Chevy Bolts here in the United States. I think it's 140,000 or so internationally for model years 2017 through 2023. This isn't a battery related recall. So, you know, people like to, tease GM for that a little bit, but not a battery related recall, basically just a component that needed to have some metal foiling placed around it to prevent any fires happening with carpet that was in close proximity to that component. So they, you know, take them into a dealership and put that metal foil in and good to go. So obviously not great. Any recall is not great, but, certainly not as major as what we saw with the Bolts last year, whenever that was. All right, that is it for today then. So as always, thank you for listening. I just looked at the time. That got pretty long today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter @TeslaPodcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, December 22nd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.